First John chapter 5 verse 4. Not the Gospel of John, not Second John, not Third John. First John chapter 5 verse 4. You got it now? Keep the baby settled and I'll be all right. Some of y'all would try to get up here and talk looking at y'all. That's why God told Isaiah, he said, don't pay attention to their faces, just preach. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I want you to look at it with me and mark it in your Bible. For whatsoever is born of God, underline, overcometh the world. You're not a loser, you're a winner. And this is the victory. Well, how do you know when you got the victory? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's how to get the victory. You get the right faith, you'll have the victory. There's a lot of people struggling right now who are Christians. If they just get in the book and get in the faith, they'd get the victory over what's defeating them. Instead, they run to every psychiatrist and psychologist and Dear Abby and Jerry Springer and everything else, which is outside the faith, which does not even give you the victory, and you're never going to overcome it until you get in the right faith. Amen? Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen? The war is on. You can see it this morning. The war is on. Think about it. The world, the flesh, and the devil is attacking every one of us. It's attacking our family, our home, our loved ones, and the devil himself is the head of the army that is out to defeat you. Amen? And they're like terrorists. They don't fight fair. It's not like there's two armies lined up against each other and we're on one side and the devil and the world and the flesh is on the other side. No, sir. They're deceitful and they're liars and they're sneaky. And listen, they travel by night and in the darkness and in the dark corners of life, and they're not fair, and they don't fight fair. They don't just come out and stand up against you. They're attacking you in ways you never dream of. They're using your family. They're using your friends. They're using your finances. They're using your jobs. And sometimes they even use other church members to attack you. You are in a war, and you better get used to it. The day you got saved is the day that you entered the battle. The devil didn't bother you before that. The world, the flesh, and the devil were your friends before that. They had no need to attack you. Sometimes you'll hear a poor, ignorant Christian say, well, the devil's down there at the barroom. He is not. He's already got that crowd. He don't have to bother them. It's this crowd he's after. Amen? It's this crowd he's trying to defeat. It's this crowd that he's trying to discourage. Amen? And there's some things worth fighting for. There's some things worth fighting for. Now, I'm a Christian. I don't like to fight. Everything in me is against fighting. It is. It's against fighting. My spirit, my heart, the Holy Spirit in me is against fighting. But there's some things worth fighting for. There are some righteous things to fight about. Amen? There's some righteous anger. There's some righteous indignation. There's sometimes you ought to just stand up and get mad at the devil and his crowd. Amen? Amen. You ought to do it. Your family's worth fighting for. Your freedom's worth fighting for. Your righteousness, God's Word, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is worth fighting for. Now, I'm not talking about fist fight. I'm talking about a spiritual, mental, emotional fight that's going on. And look, if you don't get in the fight, you're going to be defeated before you ever get started. You know, I thought when I got saved, everything's going to be honky-dory. Do they say honky-dory in California? I thought when I got saved, everything was going to be wonderful. I thought it was going to be sunshine and roses. And boy, it wasn't long the old devil and his crowd stepped in, you know. Amen? Come on, help me. And listen, the devil and his crowd, they're after you too. And so what you got to do, number one, I want to tell you how to get the victory over this stuff. I want to tell you how to get the victory. That verse says this is our victory. So I want to show you how to get that victory. Number one, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. He says, "For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries." There are many adversaries. Believe it or not, you have adversaries. You got to recognize there is an enemy. You've got to recognize that. You know, a lot of Christians don't recognize that there's an enemy. They think that the world, the flesh, and all that crowd loves them because they're Christians and it's all about love and it's all about that stuff, you know. But what you don't realize is you've got some enemies. You have adversaries. And unless you realize that, look at our arena of politics. Look at our arena of politics. Boy, that would be a perfect example, wouldn't it? You got one crowd over here. They hate everything that we've ever stood for in America. They say they hate, they're tearing down the statues, they're taking the scripture off the walls, they're taking the Ten Commandments out of public places. You can't carry a Bible, you can't witness. You're called a fanatic, you're called a homophobe, you're called a racist, you're called all kinds of things. We just sang the song about the cross. You know, the cross is a thing to bear. It's not something that pretty and shiny you hang around your neck. And what you've got to realize is once you become a child of God, you got a target on you from the devil. And the devil's crowd, listen to this, it's going to shock you, is anybody that is not saved by the grace of God. And a lot of them don't even know that they're the enemy. They don't know it. They think they're your friend and they think they're helping you. They think they're helping you when they tempt you. They think they're helping you when they discourage you and hinder you from going to church or having family devotions or disciplining your children in the right way or raising your family right. They think they're helping you. They're enlightening you, they think. They don't even know it. But look, there's an enemy and there's adversaries and the old devil, he's out to kill and destroy. Listen to this, folks. He wants to kill and destroy your family. That's his number one target. That's it. The church is not his number one target. There was family in the garden before there was church. Now, here's the order. Some of y'all need to get it right. God and the Lord Jesus Christ, family, then your church, then the things of this world, jobs, possessions, things like that. That's the order right there. And hey, if the devil can destroy your family and get his crowd to destroy your family, then he has whittled away at one piece of the church. Amen. And when he whittles away at one piece of the church, then he's whittled away at the testimony of the goodness and the greatness and the grace of God. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You have an adversary. You need to wake up. We sing that song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm a pilgrim. I'm an alien in a strange land. I'm no longer connected to this crowd, brother." The day you got saved, God separated you. He sanctified you. He set you apart into his family out of that other family. And you need to realize that day you got an adversary, the devil and his crowd. Are you with me? Yeah. Amen. Now, he's out to destroy your home. He's out to destroy your church, and then he's out to destroy your nation. Now, he's destroyed most homes. 50% of the children born today are born out of wedlock. When I was born out of wedlock, 10%. Now, it's 50% or more. Read the paper. You'll see it yourself. Read the birth announcements. They have two different names for those bones. The father, if you even see a father's name. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But so he's already destroying the home. Are you still with me? Hey, look at the TV programs. The TV programs that you see, and by the way, some of them ain't fit for human consumption. And they're attacking your home. And you think it's funny because they make daddy look stupid. Daddy's supposed to be the head of the home, and the devil's whittling away at that authority. And you think it's funny when they make mama look like some old hussy, but mama's supposed to be the heart of the home. And you think it's funny because the kids are brats and smart mouth on that TV program when the children are supposed to honor their mother and their father and they'll live long on this earth, have long, happy lives. And we think it's funny in America to look at that junk. This ain't even in my sermon, Lord, give it to me. Look, he's out to destroy you by destroying your home. Over 50% of marriages end in divorce. Why is that? The devil, that's why. Over 50% of children are born out of wedlock. Why? Because the devil, that's why. And then that goes into the church. That hey, your adversary gets you home, and then he puts you in the church somewhere, and because he's got your home out of whack, it will attempt to get your church out of whack. Me and Holroyd was talking about music this morning. He's the music director. He's a smart man. Y'all listen to him sometime. A lot smarter than I am. And what it's come down to in our churches is what every man does that which is right in his own eyes, just like in the Old Testament. Church is now a free-for-all. Whoever thinks that they're supposed to do something from God, they just get up and do it. They don't have respect for the pulpit. They don't have respect for the pastor. They don't have respect for the Sunday school teacher. They don't have respect for the choir director. They don't have respect for the people in positions of authority in the church. And it's all a free-for-all. And who is he to tell us what to do? Or who is she to tell me what to do? And listen, the devil started that in the home. Husband? Head? He ain't my head. I had one woman tell me one time, I was visiting, they visited church, I went to visit them, and I said something about the head of home, and she said, "Pastor, I'm going to go ahead and straighten you out on that. I want you to know, my husband might be the head of the home, but I'm the neck that turns that head. I call the shots around here." I left there and said, "Lord, don't send that woman to my church. That'd be a fight every Sunday." Amen. It would. That's the devil attacking the home. Now you bring that thought into the church and they say, "Who said we can't have women preachers?" Oh man, did I hit a nerve? Who says we can't have a pastor that wears men's suits as our pastor? I call them man-woman suits. You've seen them. Who says that I can't preach? Who says that I can't run everything? Well, it ain't me. We got a book right there. It's got perfect instructions. We just go by them. There's no arguing. There's no discussion. It's already written. We don't have to vote on it. We're not like the Southern Baptist Convention. They have a big meeting every year, and their representatives have to vote on stuff, whether it's still biblical or not. Well, if it ever was, it still is. God doesn't change. The Bible hasn't changed. And listen, the devil knows that. So he attacks the home. That sheds into the church. And then, did you know the church used to have a lot of weight in politics in our country? A president could never win the election for president without the backing of Bible-believing churches. So he attacks the home. That bleeds down to the church. That removes the authority and the inspiration, and it removes the prestige and the power of the church to make things happen in America. Y'all still with me? And so now it's into politics. It bleeds into politics. And then when it bleeds into politics and the politics and he wins there, he's destroyed the nation. Now the war's on. You turn on TV news and tell me it ain't. "Well, I don't watch news." Well, keep your head in the sand. Go ahead, let them take over. That's what's happened already. We've sat back and we've let them take over. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm glad I voted for a man that will stand up yesterday afternoon and call a bunch of Bible-believing pastors into the White House, in his office. That hadn't happened in two presidents. He called them in there and he said, "I want y'all to pray for me." And they laid hands on him and prayed for him. I'm talking about Bible-believing people. And then he turns to TV and says, "I'm calling a National Day of Prayer in our churches tomorrow." That's today. Amen. And thank God. Boy, I was getting discouraged. Looked like Brother Billy East, we seen a little light. Looks like there's a little light coming back on in our nation. Amen. And the devil hates it. So don't be surprised when they're marching in the streets and burning stuff and tearing up stuff. That's the devil's crowd, and they're out to discourage you and defeat you, and they'll get you where you won't vote, and they'll get you where you won't go to church, and they'll get you where you won't have a biblical family, and they'll get you where you don't believe anything anymore. The war's on. You're in a war. You're in a war. You're in a war. You kids, look at me. Clinton, you're in a war, buddy. You need to wake up. You young people, it's a war on you. I'm 63. Don't get excited. I'm going to preach most of your funerals. I plan on staying around. But when we die off, what's going to be left? Who's the young? Where's the young people that's going to defend the family and defend the church and defend our nation? We got some. They're coming up. They're few and far between, but we got some. It only takes a few to set a fire. Amen?
Amen.
So what you got to do, you got to recognize there's an enemy. For years, we had a president that wouldn't call Islam terrorism. We got one now that will. For years, we had generals and commanders that weren't allowed to call Islamic terrorists. They just had to call them terrorists. For years, we had religious leaders who were afraid to say that Islam is a cult. It's not Christianity. It's not Judaism. It's a cult. If you don't believe that, you should have watched them this past week in Mecca marching around that big old black building over there, and in the corner of it they got a big black stone that they all want to touch and kiss because they said it fell down, Muhammad sent it down from heaven. You tell me that ain't a cult. And they'll die for it, buddy. We can't only get Christians to go to church. These people will die for what they believe. And look, you need to wake up. You've got an adversary. Number two, look at Matthew 12:30. Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me." But wait a minute, he didn't stop there. He said, "He that gathereth not for me spreadeth abroad." Now, you recognize the enemy, then you join the right army. There's a lot of people in the wrong army. There's a lot of Christians in the wrong army. Boy, you get preaching against this worldly crowd of Christians that's destroying our churches with worldly music, worldly dress, and worldly habits and hobbies and everything else, and you get preaching against them, I'll tell you what, there's some Christians so deceived, they start defending that crowd.
Come on now. Yeah.
They're defending the wrong army. Why don't they defend holiness? Why don't they defend righteousness? Yeah. Amen? Why don't they defend the Word of God? Amen? You got to get in the right army. Join the right army. Jesus said, "If you're not with me, you're against me." That's pretty plain, ain't it? I mean, well, preacher, that makes you a bigot. No, no, no. If there's a bigot, it's Jesus, because he's the one that said it. Well, that's narrow-minded. He said it was. He said, there's a great way that leads to destruction. There's a narrow way that leads to life eternal. Very few there be that find it. Amen? Hey, now that's him preaching, not me. That's not the Baptists. That's not the Pentecostals. Get in the right army. Join up with the Lord. Get saved by the grace of God. And then you can say, "Well, I'm with him. I'm with him." You ever talk to somebody and you say, "What you think about Jesus?" And they say, "Well, I really don't like to talk about religion." You're lying. You just did.
Yeah.
"Well, I don't like to get into that stuff." Then you are. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah.
This fellow said one time, somebody told him a joke about Baptists. You know, we always joke about Baptists because we're Baptists. Amen? We know about it. We got a lot to laugh at each other about. And this other fellow looked at him and said, "Don't that offend you?" He said, "You can't offend me." Said, "My faith is settled. It doesn't matter what you say. You can laugh at me, make fun of me, mock me, but you're not going to change my faith. I got that said a long time ago. I joined the right army." Amen, amen. And you got to remember this. First, and don't turn there, but 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9 says this: we are laborers together with God.
Amen.
We're laborers together with God. You can't be saved. Now, I want you to listen real close. You can't be saved, recognize the enemy, be in the right army, and do nothing. I grew up in the 60s and 70s. We had people that called themselves conscientious objectors. And they wouldn't go in the military. You know what they called them? They're cowards. They made a choice that what they had in America and their God-given freedoms was not worth dying for. They had joined the other army. Come on.
Yeah, come on.
They had joined the other army. Because doing nothing meant you was on their side because they was going to win. If enough people did nothing, then the enemy would always win. And it's the same way in the church. If enough Christians and enough church members don't get serious about laboring for the Lord, the church will go under. I'm not talking about the whole church, but an individual church will go under. Unless you pick sides. Well, it gets uncomfortable, don't it? He said, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not gathering people to me, then you're scattering them around.
Come on now. Yeah.
That's something to think about. Number two, I said you got to join the right army. You got to get a battle plan. Number three, turn to Nehemiah chapter 4. You got to listen faster, said a long-winded preacher. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 13. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places I even set the people after underline their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, do not ye be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Now, after you recognize who the enemy is, after you join up, choose the right size, then you get in a battle plan. Then, after you get in the battle plan, battle plan would be seek ye first kingdom of God. Do what he wants you to do. But then after you get in there, here's what you got to do. After you get your battle plan, then you got to get in the fight. He said, look, he said, I put their whole family up on that wall against the enemy. He said, the wives, the husbands, the children, the whole family, every one of them was up on that wall ready to fight the enemy. Now listen to me. You've got to get in the fight.
Amen.
You've got to get in the fight. Nehemiah said, I put their families in the fight. Now, listen to me real close. And I'm not trying to hurt your feelings or offend you or anything. If it does, it's you. It ain't me. I'm just telling you the truth. It's about time you got your family in the battle.
Come on now.
A man cannot have a Christian home, just be a man, just a husband. There's got to be, everybody in that house has got to get in the battle. I've seen men who didn't get their family in, who didn't include their family in the battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and he'd go to church on Sunday and they'd do whatever they wanted to. And listen, that man lived a miserable life and they usually ended up divorced. By the way, your teenagers are old enough to get in the battle. They can open a hymn book and sing. Amen. Can you read yet? Can you read? Then you can open a hymn book and sing. Get in the battle. Amen. You sing down that nurse song, don't you? You're in the battle. See there? You're already in the battle. There ain't nothing wrong with getting your kids involved in ministry or getting them involved in church or putting them in the battle with against the world of flesh and devil. Let me tell you this, Brother Rick. It will teach them. When they're young, the Bible says, raise them up in the way they should go. That doesn't just mean good manners. That means teach them about the world, the flesh, and the devil.
Amen.
And that way, you won't bring them down here to me when they're 15 years old after you got them out of jail and want me to straighten them out. I can't do it. You ought to got them in the battle in the beginning.
Right.
Instead, we coddle them and bring them to church and say, well, they don't want to go to children's church. Send them anyway. Well, they don't want to pray. Well, make them pray anyway.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Give them a drug problem. Yeah. Drug them to church. Drug them to Sunday school. Drug them to Sunday night. Drug them to Wednesday night. That's my daughter right there. Hey, we didn't miss service. The churches we went to, most of them had nothing for kids. We had to start stuff for kids. Our kids sit there, and we'd make them sit with us on Sunday night. Y'all say, well, we don't bring kids on Sunday night. Y'all don't have nothing for them to do. Well, we do, but when we don't, listen, we'd set our kids up, and I remember many a time my youngest leaned up against me sleeping. I wouldn't wake them up because they didn't understand everything, but they understood this. They understood we're in church. They understood this. We've got an enemy. They understood this. We've got a Savior. Get them in the battle. Expect them to read the Bible. That shouldn't just be something kids do in Sunday school. Give them a Bible. Go buy them a nice Bible and say, I'm going to give this to you for your birthday. And you need to read this Bible every day. Get off, read this Bible. If you don't read but one chapter, read this Bible. Those people go to church every day, don't even say the blessing over a meal. Your kids don't even know how to say the blessing. And by the way, the battle ain't just for men either, it's for women too. Let me tell you something. There's not going to be a good man without a good woman backing him up. Every woman in here is married. You ought to back your husband. I know he's not the smartest man. I know it. Men are the dumber creatures. I understand that. I understand that. But God put us in that place. And like it or not, unless you're taking some kind of perverted shots or something, men have the most muscle. Amen. We're there to protect you. We're there to watch out for you. Amen. Come on, help me. And you'll jump in there and help him. And by the way, you ought to let him mess up sometimes. Sometimes he's a man. He lets you mess up and never says a word. You women would be shocked how much we men let you mess up and never say anything. Say amen, fellas. Don't be scared. You ought to let him mess up every once in a while and keep your mouth shut. Amen. And later on, he'll come to you and say, I messed that up, didn't I? And you can say, yeah, I didn't want to say that, but you did. Back him up. When he looks over at that little girl and say, you ain't wearing that out of this house. You look at her and you say, that's what your daddy said. Walmart would be a lot better looking. The mall would too. I see these teenage girls outside and I say, who let that girl out of the house? Did she climb out the window or something? Surely her mama didn't see her wearing that hussy outfit. Sometimes I see these boys, I say, that boy's daddy lets him look like that. Somebody ought to whoop his daddy. Amen? But see, we're in the right army. We need to get in the battle. Get in the fight. Support one another. You kids ought to look at your mom and daddy and thank them and say, thank you, mama, that you're raising me right. And I go to church and I know what the Bible says. And I'm in a Christian family. Thank you. Look around these other families. I'm talking to young people. Y'all listening? Undoubtedly not. You didn't say amen. I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach them how to be Baptist if it kills them. But hey, he said, I put them on the wall. The Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Did you know if we'll get this stuff lined up, the devil and his crown will flee? We can go down to the gates of hell and rattle the gates of hell and say, devil, you ain't having my youngins. They'll never pass through these gates. You're not having my grandkids. They will never pass through this gate. You're not having my husband. You're not having my wife. Get in the fight. You've already got the victory. It's kind of like that guy that crossed the finish line at Indianapolis 500 and somebody says, you the winner. He says, me? I mean, you've already won. Get in the fight. I said, join. Get a battle plan. Get in the fight. And then listen to this, Psalm 18:18. Real quick, y'all not listening fast enough. Don't get you a short-winded preacher. Psalm 18:18. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. In other words, they got in his way. But the Lord was my stay. The Lord was my stay. Do you know what that means? He is what held me up. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Stayed. Don't quit. Don't quit. Now we all want to quit sometimes. Don't say you don't. Then you'll be guilty of lying. We all want to quit. You don't want to be a pastor if you don't ever want to be tempted to quit. About every Monday we quit. Ain't nobody listening to me. Ain't nothing happening. God, you must not be in it. And then Monday night, we pick our Bible back up. But don't quit. Don't. My kids won't listen to me. Tell them anyway. My wife doesn't honor me as her husband. Well, treat her like she does anyway. Well, my husband don't treat me like the weaker vessel. Well, love him anyway and treat him like he does treat you. And eventually this stuff will happen, but you can't quit. I didn't get nothing out of church. It was probably you, but keep going anyway. Y'all didn't get that part, did you? I don't get anything out of Sunday school. Well, if you ain't getting nothing out of your church and out of your Sunday school, maybe you just need to change churches. Amen. Amen. I tell people come to me and I say, I ain't getting nothing out of this. I said, well, go somewhere else. You can find something. Amen. But I'll tell you this, they're few and far between. But don't quit. Well, my kids stay in trouble. Don't quit. Stay on it. Well, my faith's not strong. Hey, don't quit reading the Bible. Read more of it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Well, I witness people. Nobody ever gets saved. Well, the next one might. Well, I pray and never get an answer. Maybe the next prayer is the one that brings the answer. Don't quit. Now, you've recognized the enemy. You've gotten the right army. You've been saved. You got your battle plan. You're going to live for Him. You're going to do things for Him. You've gotten in the army. You've gotten in the fight. You recognize there's a devil and you're fighting back. You're not being a passive. You're fighting back about it. And you're not going to quit.
Right. Come on.
And then last. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Very, very familiar passage of Scripture. Most of you already know it. Start with verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And look at that last one. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now my comfort is I've recognized the enemy. I've joined the right army. I've got a battle plan. I'm in the battle. I'm fighting every day. I'm trying not to quit. So I'm watching, I'm listening for that trumpet.
Amen.
One day, the trumpet's going to sound. Do you know why he uses a trumpet? If you read the Old Testament, the trumpet always sounded a victory. The trumpet sounded a rallying call. The trumpet sounded charge. The trumpet sounded retreat sometimes. But people listened for the trumpet. While he was out there fighting Brother Rick and he was killing those big old Romans or Philistines or whatever, you know, at the same time he was listening. He knew that he recognized his adversary. He was fighting him. He had enlisted in the right army. He wasn't going to quit. He was following the right battle plan. And now he's fighting. He's in the fight. But at the same time, he's listening for that trumpet. Am I winning? Am I losing? Am I going to retreat? Am I going forward? Am I going to get the victory? And I can't do all that out there, but I can do right here. I can fight mine right here, and all the rest of them fighting theirs. I can't fight for your family, but I can fight for my family. Hey, I can't fight for somebody else's wife, but I can fight for my wife. I can't fight for somebody else's children, but I can fight for mine and my grandchildren and my church and my nation. And I'm fighting, buddy. I'm fighting. I'm not giving up. And I'm not getting discouraged. I'm not quitting because I'm listening for the victory trumpet.
Amen. Yeah, come on.
And that's what he was doing the whole time he was fighting. He was listening for that victory trumpet. And there in 1 Thessalonians, he said, there's a trumpet going to sound. And you know it's going to be the victory trumpet because there's a voice going to sound.
Amen. Yeah.
There's a trumpet of victory, and then there's a voice, come up hither. Let's go home. Let's go home. You've won the battle. You've fought a good fight. You've kept the faith. Now, there's a great reward laid up for you. Now, da-da-da-da, come up hither. Come home. It's done. We've won. Amen. Now, you might hear that at 65 years old and cross over to the other side. You might hear it at 90 years old and cross to the other side. Or you might hear it at the rapture of the church when he calls us all out at one time. But either way, you're going to be a winner. You can have the victory. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's going to say, you've won.
You've won. Now come on home. Now folks, your battle's not going to be over until it's won.
Amen. Yeah.
We sing that song, "This World Is Not My Home." This world's my battleground. This world's where I fight for the faith once delivered unto the saints. This world is where my family is, people I love. A lot of them's here. And I'm not giving up. And I'm not throwing in the towel. And I'm not quitting. And I ain't going to let my wife. And I'm not going to let my children. And I'm not going to let my grandchildren. And I'm not going to let my church. And I'm not going to let my nation fall by quitting when the battle is already promised to be won.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm a redneck NASCAR fan from years back. But I liked it better before they put all them restrictions on them. You get your old 56 Chevrolet or Ford, whatever you like. If you get a Ford, you're going to need a spare. But anyway, get you a 56 Chevrolet. Take all the insides out of it. Strip that thing down because it weighed a ton. Strip everything down. Make it light as you can. Put some roller bars in there because you're going to have a few flips. You're going to flip that thing before it's over with. You're going to go over the bank. My brother-in-law went over the bank last year, landed in the trees. He did. Landed in the tree. And boy, they'd get out there and they'd have that thing put together with clothesline and duct tape, man. Yeah. Put some mothballs in the gas tank, you know, something they think make it run faster. And they just, get out of the way, I'm going through here. I'm winning this race, bless God, you better move over. And if they don't move, just push them out of the way. Keep going. Don't quit. You go in the pit and they say, that right tire's coming off. Shut up. Put some gas in. I'm going to run it till it falls off. When's the last time you seen some Christians like that?
Come on now, yeah.
We got a bunch of wimpy, mamby-pamby Christians. Don't want to get in the fight. Don't want to get in the race. Don't want to get in the battle. Let me tell you something. When I get to heaven, I want to enter the victory gates. I want the wreath of victory. Hey, I want to hear, enter down to the joys of the Lord, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to be a giver upper. Hey, my starter's fell off before, and I put it back on, start all over again. You know, my muffler's fell off, and I put another muffler on, start all over again. I took a motor apart when I was 18, didn't know what in the world I was doing. Somebody told me I needed to put head gaskets on, so I took the heads off, put a head gasket on there, and put it back on. I didn't even put half the parts back in. I had nuts and bolts and springs everywhere. Got in that thing and went up the road, and it was running good. I didn't know you were supposed to do all kinds of special tightening and stuff. I needed my car. I wasn't going to walk. I wasn't going to give up. So I just put a head gaskets on it, and I went out there and put that thing in first gear, and I'm easing up the road. That 327 just sounding good, you know. And I'm easing up the road in that old Chevelle, and then I put it up in the second, and I put up, when I put up in third, I put it to the floor. It went whoa, and that heat hand went zip. And I got out and looked, and it done blowed all the water out of the radiator because I didn't know what I was doing, and the pressure from the motor was coming between those gaskets and going down into the radiator and blowing the water out every time I'd floor it. As long as I didn't floor it, I was fine. I could just ease along. And some of you scared to death, you're going to run hot. You think you're going to blow a head gasket if you get excited about the Lord. You're not going to, hey, it's not going to hurt you. Matter of fact, when you cross the finish line, you're going to say, amen. I knew I could do it. I knew it. I might have left out a few nuts and bolts and springs here and there, but I made it across the finish line. I'm a winner. Hallelujah. You got the victory already. Won't you just go ahead and act like it? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God that never changes.